Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep, here with local and statewide news. Proposed public land sales in Alaska are no longer included in the GOP budget bill that's making its way through the Senate this week. A mandate to sell somewhere between 2 and 3 million acres across the western U.S. was first struck down by the Senate parliamentarian last week because it was irrelevant to the budget. U.S. Senator Mike Lee, the Utah Republican who introduced the provision, then tried to write about 1.2 million acres back in. But on Saturday, Lee withdrew the land sale provision completely, announcing on X that it was because he was unable to prevent the land from being sold to foreign interests or BlackRock. Republicans, including U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, initially said selling the land would allow it to be developed into affordable housing. But much of the identified public lands, which could have included parts of the Tongass and Chugach National Forests and remote parts of the interior, are unsuited for housing development. The idea sparked public outrage among outdoor recreation enthusiasts from across the political spectrum. Some Republican representatives from Colorado, Idaho, and Montana even spoke out against the sell-off. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan indicated support for the land sales before they were stripped from the bill. Senate Republicans aim to pass the bill by July 4th. A glacial outburst flood is underway on the Taku River, water that was held back by glacial ice is draining out of Lake No Lake. The National Weather Service forecasts that the release of water is not expected to breach the Taku River's banks. Aaron Jacobs, a senior hydrologist at the National Weather Service in Juneau, says the release started Sunday night. To issue the forecast, he looked at water volumes that burst from Lake No Lake in past years and snowpack data from this winter.
Since we are about below normal on our snowpack, we're not seeing any additional inflow into Lake No Lake that would put our water volume above what the normal water volume released would be that we've seen in the past.
The water is expected to crest at 42 feet around 10 a.m. Tuesday. That's below the height that would make it a minor flood, so no flooding is expected at this time. But he says boaters should be vigilant.
People in the area should be aware of any debris floating down the river and then also into Taku Inlet.
Jacob says the National Weather Service will update the forecast if there are major changes. And today is Beth McEwen's last day as Juneau's municipal clerk. She's retiring from the city clerk's office after 25 years. In that role, she's overseen Juneau's local elections, the workings of the Juneau Assembly, and occasionally even performed marriages. KTOO's Yvonne Kremery sat down with her in the assembly chambers at City Hall to talk about what she's learned over the years.
I'm excited, nervous. Pinch me. I don't know what's really happening.
Yeah, I mean, you've been here for a while.
Yeah, I started in the clerk's office in 2000, January of 2000. So it's been a minute.
How did you come into the clerk's office? Was that something you always wanted to do?
When I was going to school and I was studying, I wanted to be somehow in public service. I knew that I always wanted to work with people. And that was my passion from the time I was a kid, you know, and never even heard of a municipal clerk before. I was a government geek from the time I was a kid. My very first time I ever appeared in the newspaper was as a two-year-old waving the American flag in a 4th of July parade. So I kind of came at it from a young age that I was always patriotic and wanted to. I loved government and all things related to government. I'm sure that's because my parents, you know, at an early age, indoctrinated me into everything about democracy and how it's for the people, by the people, and of the people. And when the clerk and the deputy clerk both resigned at the end of 1999, we were without a clerk and without a deputy clerk. And I had been working in the law department for a couple of years by then, and I thought, you know, I don't know exactly what all the job duties are of a clerk, but it couldn't be all that different from a legal secretary. So I applied, and rather than having a real job interview, the manager said, when are you starting now?
I'm curious, like, what lessons have you learned in your time at the clerk's office?
Oh, lots of lessons. When we first started in 2000, there's a notice of public hearing requirement that the charter requires that neither one of us were fully aware of the requirement and how that played out for the first 3 months of our tenure in the clerk's office. We didn't do it properly. So after 3 months, every single piece of legislation that the assembly had adopted, we had to readopt and go through kind of an omnibus meeting. I never forgot that lesson learned. Just emphasized, if there's a notice of public hearing that needs to go out, we're doing it. And those are just, you know, those are the kind of oops lessons that once they're learned the hard way, they stay learned. And then you pass those on to your successors and everyone else.
Is there anything that you've seen change in Juneau that you're especially proud of or that you're happy to have seen change or grow?
I have seen a lot of change, but the one thing that I really am encouraged by is people in this community care about this community, and they care enough to run for office and serve in public, either elected or appointed office. We have over 230 board, commission, committee volunteer members who serve in some way in our community, and those caring community members keep coming, you know, and we're very fortunate that although I've seen lots of change in my tenure, I have seen the dedication of our fellow citizens be part of the community and care enough to give back to our community as a whole.
My last question is, what do you plan to do next?
I hop a plane and go to Europe for almost 3 months, 4 months, something like that. One of the first things I get to do is a 5-day immersion French cooking school. Oh, I guess the other thing that I am doing on that trip to Europe is I've always wanted to go to the International Institute of Municipal Clerks International Symposium, and it happens to be in England in September, and I was already going to be there, so I'm going to go to a week-long symposium as a retired clerk because it was always during our election season, so it wasn't like I was ever going to be able to go until I was retired.
That was Juneau's municipal clerk, Beth McEwen, on her retirement. A historic site about 50 miles north of Nome is transforming. The local orphanage is now a sprawling place to gather, camp, and enjoy natural hot springs. And on Saturday, the site opened its gates for a summer hangout that was years in the making. KNOM's Ben Townsend has more.
Welcome, everyone. You know, my wife and I, we've been coming here since the early 80s. It's just amazing how this place has changed.
This is Roy Ashenfelter, chair of Bering Straits Native Corporation's board. The corporation is a partial owner of Unatuk, or Pilgrim Hot Springs.
A lot of the improvements that have happened recently are just astounding to me.
The property spans 320 acres of land and water on the northeastern end of the Kigliak Mountain Range. The land underneath is warm and arable, a rarity in the subarctic. Water as hot as 180 degrees spouts from an artesian well on the site. Archaeologists say the hot springs have been used by Alaska Native peoples for thousands of years, but in the early 1900s, a white settler claimed the site under the Homestead Act. A saloon, dance hall, and roadhouse were built for gold miners passing through. A decade later, the property was turned into a Catholic mission. When the Spanish flu hit in 1918, orphans from nearby villages were brought to the site and attended boarding school. After a century of non-Native ownership, the Fairbanks Catholic Diocese sold the property for just under $2 million to help fund a bevy of sexual assault settlements. The successful bidders were a consortium of five Native corporations, a regional economic development organization, and a tribal nonprofit. Unatuk's general manager, Kelsey Gallagher, says under the new ownership, the site's meaning to the region is transforming.
We have people that they come out and they're like, oh, my aunt was sent here or my cousin was sent here. And I think I take it as a good sign when they walk on that property and they're not bad. Like they can look around and they can be happy that they're there.
Since taking over in 2010, the site's co-managing partners, Bering Straits and Kowarik, have worked on overhauling the site. Wide gravel paths loop around the property, linking a gathering space to rental cabins, huge wooden barrel hot tubs, and remnants of the site's orphanage past. Tucked in the back of the property are rectangular pads of permafrost-free dirt, so soft you can scoop it up with your bare hands. The team at Unatuk is growing what they call a food forest on the naturally warm land.
Gosh, a whole bunch of different stuff this year. We have potatoes, bok choy, broccoli, garlic, cabbages, red and green cabbages, lettuce, strawberries. I know I'm forgetting things.
Next year, a geothermal power plant will be buried in the warm ground. Gallagher says it'll generate 75 kilowatts, enough to power the entire facility.
It's going to be one of, if not the smallest microgrid in the world, which is crazy.
To get the community out on the property, the staff at Unatuck is hosting an opening mini-festival. Local folk group Landbridge Tollbooth performs with their five-piece band. Mary Jane Litchard then takes a turn on the microphone. In her hands are corn seeds from the Hopi Reservation in Arizona and tobacco seeds from Nevada.
They told me that I should use these to bless the land. So I'd like to go ahead and sprinkle on each side, a little bit on each side.
The stage is then turned over to a joint performance from the King Island and St. Lawrence Island dance groups. It was the first time the staff at Unatuck had welcomed drummers to perform at the site. Gallagher says with the property finally back in Native hands, it won't be the last time. In Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
And taking a look at the weather in Juneau, it's currently 60 degrees and overcast. Tonight, there are a chance of showers with a low around 51 and an east wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Through the rest of this week, lows are hovering in the low 50s with highs around the low 60s with a chance of showers going into Independence Day. This is KTOO.